Shri Sai Ram. Time and again, Bharat has been blessed to witness the descent of God in human form. Be it the counsel he gave as Lord Shiva in Kailash, or the ideals he set for society, even as he traversed the country as Sri Rama, or the evil he vanquished during his playful days at Gokul as Nandabala, or the sermon of the Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield as Sri Krishna. In this yuga, he chose a tiny village of Gollapalli, transforming it through miracles of love, experiences of divinity, and exemplar service. Today, Prashanthi Nilayam stands as a lighthouse for the seeker, a home for the Lord's children, and a temple for the devout. The story of this transformation of the village Gollapalli into the spiritual capital Prashanthi Nilayam is a story of each one of us. For Sri Satya Sai has touched our lives in his own inimitable way. His story lives in each of our own lives. The students of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning present a drama titled Daivam Manusha Rupena, the glorious epic of the Lord's sojourn in a human form.
Paramam pavitram bhava vibhutim paramam vichitram lila vibhutim paramartha ishtartha moksha pradatam bhava vibhutim idam ashrayame.
Dadaji, have you noticed the recent surge of new faces that are joining the bhajans at our home every Thursday?
I sure have. But why are you surprised, Vishal? Have you not by now come to understand and just experience in wonder the Divine Master's play?
I am curious. I must know the reason how and why all these people are turning up here right on time. Aren't you interested to find out if there is a greater mystery to it?
You have never lost your appetite for some investigation. But this is definitely one such marvel, truly worth your reflection. Why don't you stop one of our esteemed guests and inquire for yourself?
Excuse me, sir. Sai Ram.
Namaste. You must be Vishal.
Yeah, I am indeed Vishal. But how do you know me?
I was in the station this evening, lost in my own misery, until I met this Sadhuji on the platform. He came up to me and said, "This evening there are bhajans at Vishal's house. You should go and attend it." Then he directed me here, giving me all the instructions. I can't thank him enough for this blessing. And of course you, my dear son, for making the evening so memorable and divinely peaceful. You sing so well. God bless you, my child.
Oh, this sounds so mysterious. A sadhuji, an unknown one that too, guiding people to our house. Why would he do that? Sir, where can I find him?
Why don't you make a visit to the railway station? I'm sure you'll find him there.
Stop there. I shall allow you to come closer only on two conditions. One, you shall not touch my feet. And the second, you must allow me to pay my obeisance to you.
What? But how can I allow a noble saint like you to touch my feet?
No. I must touch your feet while you shall not. Only then will I answer any of your questions or grant you an audience.
Oh. Okay. What choice do I have?
Excellent. Now you can come forward.
This is unbelievable. First, you are the omniscient ascetic who blesses my home in your subtlety. And now you seek to worship my feet.
Dear child, you fail to recognize your own worth. You are not an ordinary mortal. Not after the ultimate sculptor has touched your life. Even a case of his is enough to chisel the goodness latent in us. Are you even aware of the divine privilege you have been bestowed with? To have breathed the same air with the Lord of the universe come down?
I am unable to follow your mysterious words.
Aray, you fail to fathom the purpose of his benediction. Not everyone is fortunate or rather deservedly blessed to visit the Lord. Let me tell you my story. I was but a young lad in the ashram of Swami Shivananda when Bhagavan Baba came visiting to Badrinath. How my mind's eye has imprinted those wonderful days he spent with us. And that was the only time the Lord deemed it worthy for me to earn the grace of his proximity. Ever since I have tried all my best, but to no avail.
But in this day and age, how difficult is it for someone to just book a ticket and drop into Parthi from anywhere across the world? I have witnessed people of so many nationalities throng the citadel of peace across the years.
You have seen the culmination. Have you seen the journey? Let me just share my experience and allow you to reflect on it. I too pine to come to Puttaparthi after the demise of my Gurudev. So I once booked my tickets to Puttaparthi and made my journey all the way from Rishikesh. It was an uneventful journey until I reached Dharmavaram. The bus to Puttaparthi was at 5 a.m. the next morning. So I decided to rest the night at the waiting room. With happy thoughts that I would gaze upon his form the next day, I went to sleep. When the dawn did break and I woke up, I found myself back in my cave in Rishikesh.
What?
A voice within told me, "Who gave you the permission to come without my calling you? Wait until I give you the permission to come and set your foot in Puttaparthi." Now tell me, who is more blessed? You or me?
Swamiji, I beseech you to please visit our home and sanctify it with your holy presence. We would be extremely grateful to have an opportunity to host you and serve you.
Haan, achhi baat hai. I shall come. I shall come when the time is opportune. When he wills. But you must remember one thing. You are not inviting me to the place of your dwelling. It is verily the altar of our beloved Lord, hai na?
Moko kaha dhunde re bande. मोको कहां ढूंढे रे बंदे मैं तो तेरे पास मैं तो तेरे पास मैं तो तेरे
Dadaji, indeed, it's the divine leela of our Lord. There is a Saduji in the station directing specific people to our house. I still don't know why he's doing it, but after meeting him and hearing his story, I am in awe of the ways of our Lord.
Every experience we come across is a timely message for our progress. I am certain, Vishal, that the experience he shared with you would definitely have something to reiterate your position in life with respect to the Lord.
I used to feel going to Parthi is my choice, but Swami says none can set foot in Parthi without His will. Truly, His words are beyond my comprehension.
You know, I realized it after a long time myself, that every word of Swami is a distilled essence of the sacred scriptures and Upanishads. The loving Lord puts it in a simple manner for our understanding.
Dadaji, can you tell me more about this?
Pick up that book. This is a collection of letters from Bhagwan to his students. Read any random page from it.
Here is a poem. Shall I read it?
Why not? Go ahead.
The bird with you, the wings with me. The foot with you, the path with me. The eye with you, the form with me. The thing with you, the dream with me. The world with you, the heaven with me. So are we free, so are we bound. So we begin, so we end. You in me, and I in you. Baba.
Oh Vishal, see Swami's ways. You opened a page that has the essence of every spiritual text. Now you see how he shows the path. The greatest Mahavakya of the Upanishads is Tattvamasi. Thou art that. Each one of us is nothing but that principle of Atman. If we realize that, we are free. Otherwise, we are bound. He has come to remove the shackles of bondage, to set us all free. Freedom that shuns the duality. A freedom that binds one with Him.
You know, Dadaji, the other day I was reading Ramkatha Rasavahini and I felt Rama was verily like Swami and Ayodhya must have just been like Parthi.
I agree with you, Vishal. Like Sri Rama, even Swami didn't merely preach. He is an example by himself in every thought, word and deed throughout his lifetime. Of the many facets that glorify this spark of Raghuvamsha in our Sai Rama, the one most inspiring to me is the unheralded nature of his patriotism. Do you remember the time after the war in Lanka when the great monarch Ravana had been killed?
The setting sun brings to close a gruesome war and an exhausting day. The mighty Dashanana and hordes of his demon troops have been vanquished and Dharma has been established. For this, I have to thank you, my friend Sugriva, Prince Angada, Commander Jambavan, Anjaneya, and all the valiant Vanara heroes. The courage and prowess that you have displayed in this war rivals that of the gods.
Rama, I am not naive to think that this victory is due to our prowess and might. The Vanaras are but instruments in your hands.
Well said, Angada. Ramachandra, wasn't it your name that kept mountains afloat on the sea? Then where is the need to credit us for this victory?
Vibhishana, I am grateful to you. Without your help, we could not have penetrated the mysteries of Rakshasa magic or gauged their convoluted motives. You have made a great sacrifice, giving up your brother and people in order to uphold Dharma. Now that the war is over, honor the mortal remains of your brother. Perform his last rites in a manner that befits a monarch and scholar. Once you have completed the ceremonies, convey the message of our victory to Sita.
Lord, I did not have the desire to perform the last rites of my brother. His unrighteous deeds do not entitle him to such merits. But since you have now instructed me to perform his rites and you know the dictates of Dharma, I shall do so. As regarding Mother Sita, I will promptly bring her back to you. Permit me to take your leave now.
Our mission here is almost completed. Sugriva, what must be our course of action now?
Rama, the journey to Lanka has been arduous. We have crossed sea water spanning 100 yojanas. In this present battle-worn state, the Vanara troops are not in a position to cross the sea again. It is my opinion that we stay here itself and enjoy Lanka's hospitality, at least till we recuperate.
Agraja, I have a prayer. Allow me to submit it to you.
What is it, Lakshmana?
The city of Lanka is magnificent, with its resplendent golden palaces, luxuriant parks and playgrounds, and abundant prosperity. It resembles heaven itself. It is my prayer that you preside over this city as its monarch.
Lakshmana, have you forgotten that I have already given my word to Vibhishana that I would crown him the king of Lanka? I must respect my word. Even if I had not made such a promise, I still would not ascend the throne of Lanka, for I do not desire it.
Kanna thalliyo kanna deshamu yennaga okatauta maruvaka minnayo manabharatavani sannutim parasodara Vishvakalyanatmakam bagu Vedanichayamu velikitisi Shashvatam mugavenaya jesina Sanmunindrula dhanya bhumidi
Janani janma bhumischa swargad api gariyasi. Bhrata, Ayodhya is our motherland. It is verily like our mother. Can we love our mother any lesser for her beauty? Not just Lanka. Even if Indra were to offer me the throne of heaven, I will not accept it.
Shri Ramachandra Maharaj ki jai! Shri Ramachandra Maharaj ki jai!
That was the righteous conduct of a true son of the motherland. And nothing has changed across time. I remember that day when Mother Ishwaramma came out joyous after hearing the thunderous promise from our beloved Sai. Swami had declared that he would never leave Parthi. Rather, the whole world would flock to his divine lotus feet. And the days that followed thereafter unfolded in such grandeur before my eyes. His life is a majestic ode of reverence to our ennobling culture and tradition. Every kind gesture, subtle mannerism, a reflection of the true spirit of Bharat. Bhagwan is the very embodiment of the Indian tricolor flag, the fountainhead and the lighthouse, guiding all world unto the right path. His every breath is the supreme sacrifice of selfless love, taking shape as the magnanimous temples of healing or the mammoth water projects, blossoming the dream of a Ratnala Seema in the prairie dust of Rayala Seema. The divine elixir, touching and transforming a million lives with grace. And in the endeavor, he sows the seeds of service in his very selfless reflections, robed in spotless outlook. Messengers of peace, inspired by love itself. The illumination of his enduring legacy through his value-based institutions and service organizations. The beacon of hope, inflamed with his spirit of empathy. As long as time shall stand testimony, this wheel of dharma will safeguard the world, for he is the divine charioteer. Scripting our destiny in his infinite grace. Unveiling the royal highway in his exemplary footprints on the sands of time.
Indeed, Dadaji, like how Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita are guideposts for people around the world, Swami also showed everyone how to live an ideal life in this world. Right from Balavikas for children, Seva activities for the youth, and wisdom-filled discourses for the seekers.
Very true, Vishal. He spread the name of India in every nook and corner of the world. Bhagwan became the unifying spirit by demonstrating that there is only one religion, the religion of love. His devotees call him by many names. Some pray to him as Bhagwan, some as Sai, some as Christ, some call him Swami. He is loved everywhere by everyone, like as if he is theirs.
Dadaji, that brings me to a very pertinent question that I have always wanted to ask you. Since today we are talking a lot about Swami, let me ask you this. Did Swami ever reveal the divine purpose of his manifestation?
You and your curiosity amuse me. Vishal, this world comprises of just two things. The unmanifested energy, which is Shiva, the Purusha, and the manifestation of that energy, which is Shakti, the Prakriti. The absolute consciousness is present in every bit of creation, and every single manifestation completes the unseen absolute. One is the principle of changelessness, and the other is the principle of change. I still can't forget that day of Guru Purnima, when Swami, our Guru, showed us that we are blessed to come close to this incarnation, because he is the union of Shiva and Shakti. In fact, he is the form of the all-pervading Brahman itself.
Dadaji, I have never heard this story from someone who actually saw it happen. Please tell me about it in detail.
It was on the 28th of June, 1963, when a sudden news took us by surprise. Swami had decided that for a week, no interviews would be granted. We were dismayed and more than a little concerned. Until the day it happened, the experience of a lifetime, the timely reminder of the real divinity that walked in our midst. I remember my friends asking me what I had witnessed sitting so close to Swami.
Krishnaya, what was your experience sitting there right in the front at Swami's lotus feet? You must have had the perfect vantage point in the entire hall to witness the Leela of our Sai.
Rao Garu, it was a mixture of feelings that I went through, sitting so close. You know, having his darshan after an emotional week was something very special. But sitting there, watching our ailing Swami being carried down, it was just gut-wrenching to be seated in the front row. Made me realize how selfish we can be.
Sitting at the back, it wasn't easy. Nearly 5,000 people had rushed into the prayer hall. There was so much of speculation of what is happening in the front. That is when the huge wail of masses erupted, scaring every brave heart in the hall.
Yes, especially the moment when the commotion began, as Swami kept motioning to Kasturi Garu. What exactly happened?
With a feeble voice and very minimum gestures, Swami conveyed a message to Kasturi Garu. Swami asked him to tell everyone, "Do not grieve. This is not my ailment. This is an ailment I have taken over. I can never fall ill. No, never. Do not feel dispirited. If you lose heart, it will pain me." Even in that pain of his, he was only concerned about his devotees.
Oh Lord, can we ever be grateful enough to you? Krishnaya Garu, how did Swami stand up with all this pain then? Can't even imagine what he endured for our sake.
Swami asked for the mic to be held near his lips. He spoke something that at first no one heard. Then he repeated again. And that is when my heart broke down with tears of love. He asked, "Vinipistunda?" Every heart groaned in pain. Praying to him, "Lord, don't take this trouble for our sake." But Swami had chosen this day. He then gestured for water to be brought. The water was held up close to his lips and he took a sip. Then he dipped his fingertips of the right hand and sprinkled some water on his left shoulder. He stroked the left hand with his right and then with sudden motion of both his hands, he stroked his left leg. Even before we could realize what was happening, the pillow supporting him fell. He stood up and like always in a crystal clear voice, he said, "Prema Swarup Lara."
Rightly surmised Krishnaya. That moment when our beloved Sai finally stood up, the thunderous applause that shook the roof must have definitely had even the hands of gods.
I still haven't come to terms with the entire experience. Was this all a dream? Did we just witness all that transpired in the hall? The words of Sai still ring loud and clear in my head.
Now I realize, Prasad Garu, our selfishness when it comes to Swami isn't a vice, but a virtue. In fact, it is the only worthy selfishness in life, to seek this Lord who alone can set us free.
for he is no ordinary mortal with ailments. Today, he chose us for a reason, to remind us of this supreme benevolent divinity that lives in our midst.
Yes, that day, our dearest Sai narrated in the following discourse in his melodious booming voice, a divine ordinance as old as time. The Lord's unfailing promise to a devotee, and the extent God shall go to uphold it, no matter what it means, he revealed. Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva and Parvati. Rishi Muni Bharadwaja once visited the holy abode to invite the Divine Mother to preside over the sacrifice. But finding them engaged in the Tandava Nritya, Bharadwaja waited for 8 long days. Exposure to the icy slopes of Kailasha led to a paralytic stroke. On hearing his devotee fall, Shiva revived him by sprinkling some water on him. Then he was granted a boon. We will be born in your lineage thrice. First, I alone will incarnate, followed by my incarnation with Shakti. The third incarnation will celebrate the coming of Shakti. To atone for Shakti's sin of continuing with the dance despite noticing Bharadwaja's presence, the Shiva Shakti avatar will suffer from a paralytic stroke for 8 days. I will sprinkle water on Shakti and revive the body.
Dadaji, I have heard and read of this incident several times, but to hear from one who has seen it happen is so thrilling.
My words do not do justice to the joy and awe of that moment. We came to experience on that day that Swami was indeed the Shiva Shakti Swarupa. I cannot describe my feelings entirely. Even now the memory is fresh and overwhelming.
But Dadaji, one question still rages in my mind. When Swami was suffering from the malady on his human body, why didn't he instantly cure himself?
Vishal, it was the Lord upholding his promise to sage Bharadwaja. But that doesn't imply the inability to transcend these petty limitations of human frailties, as our beloved Sai demonstrated in the end.
Petty limitations? These are the very aspects that define the course of a society and civilization. Health and character, life and death. Are these in any matter petty?
Indeed, seemingly insurmountable for a mortal, but petty for the divine. He transforms the deadliest dacoits with a smile. He heals the hopeless addicts with a gaze. He cancels cancers with a call. His touch turns the disabled whole. He is beyond the code, and yet he is the code. Innumerable are the examples that demonstrate such love of Sai, but there is one that still stands fresh in my heart. In fact, this story reminded me of that moment in Mahabharata when a devotee of the Lord had to live so that the world got the greatest treasure of Bhagavatam.
The greatest testing time for Kuru Vamsha has arrived. The war has created such deep wounds that they may never be healed for eternity. A slight glimmer of hope lies in the knowledge of the arrival of an heir.
Agraja, a deep and unknown fear stalks my heart. The evil Ashwatthama has guided the Brahmashira against all a progeny born or unborn.
Do not harbor any unreasonable fears, brothers. Our protector, Krishna, has promised to save the unborn child. He will never go back on his word. Ha! There comes Draupadi. Surely she is bringing joyous tidings about the arrival of the heir.
The child seems to be calm right from birth.
Maybe he is asleep. Draupadi, wake him up. Let us hear his voice.
O Kaunteyas, the light of our clan has set even before it could rise. Uttara has delivered a stillborn child.
Panchali, this cannot be true. What wrong have I done to deserve this? Agraja, what has this so-called victory given us except pain, guilt and tears?
Crisis has always remained an eternal companion in our sojourn. We were robbed of our father's love, deprived of our rightful share of the kingdom, and sent into exile by a conspiracy. We have endured all along, but what remains is only sorrow.
And with the stillborn child, even our last ray of hope has been extinguished, leaving us in darkness.
No, Sahadeva. There is still one ray of hope left. The light which lit up our dark lives during the exile and guided us all through our troubled times will surely dispel this impending doom.
Arjuna, Bhimasena, why is Hastinapura so silent? Dharmaja, what are you doing here? Go and make preparations for a grand celebration. Are you waiting for my instructions in these matters too? Bhimasena, get the streets decorated. Give charity. Arjuna, what are you staring at? Oh, has the arrival of a grandson reminded you of your age?
The curse of Ashwatthama's weapon has taken effect. The world of Pandavas has collapsed with the death of Abhimanyu's son.
Bhimasena, your sense of humor has remained intact. But do not utter such inauspicious words. See how peacefully your grandson sleeps in the arms of his grandmother. Are, he is the very image of Abhimanyu. His eyes are like Abhimanyu. Nose is like Abhimanyu, and even his lips are like Abhimanyu.
His breath is also like Abhimanyu, Krishna. Abhimanyu is dead, and so is his son. Mockery has its limits, Vasudeva. Don't add fuel to the fire of anguish already raging within us.
You are all mistaking a sleeping child for dead. Panchali, give me the child.
Swabhava. భక్త హృదయాంతరంగా
వంశోద్ధారక పాహి మామ్. కృష్ణ, వాట్ ఆర్ యూ కాంటెంప్లేటింగ్ ఆన్ నౌ? వెన్ వీ వర్ ఆల్ ఇమర్స్డ్ ఇన్ సారో, యూ వర్ స్మైలింగ్. అండ్ నౌ వెన్ వీ ఆర్ ఆల్ సో హ్యాపీ, యూ ఆర్ సో విత్డ్రాన్. వాసుదేవ, వాట్ ఈస్ ద మ్యాటర్?
పార్థ, డూ యూ రిమెంబర్ ద డే అభిమన్యు ఫెల్? యూ టర్మ్డ్ మీ as Vamshanashaka on that day. Then I was a destroyer of your clan, and now suddenly I am the emancipator.
Forgive me, Vasudeva. Human that I am, forgetting your divinity, I have poured scorn upon you and hurt thee.
Arjuna, when you accosted me Vamshanashaka or extolled me as Vamshodhari, I remained unaffected. Then and now, I am the same Krishna. Both joy and suffering are outcomes of actions performed, either in this life or previous lives. However, God does intervene in order to remove the sting from the suffering of a devotee who has surrendered to Him. Responding to prayer is God's foremost dharma. All other rules pale into insignificance before an earnest prayer.
The Lord can put a breath of life even in a stone. Parikshit was a human after all. But then He does such acts to make us realize that just because He is one amidst us, it doesn't mean He is like us. He shows that everything is in His control. Let me take you back in time to a scenario in one of the hospitals in Chennai.
The man was brought dead. He seemed to have suffered a massive heart attack. Are any relatives present?
Yes, sir. His wife and a friend.
All right. Please inform them and complete the formalities.
But sir, about the body, he's a foreign national. The authorities might have to be notified.
Let the body remain in the morgue until tomorrow. The chief doctor will come in the morning. He is authorized to take such calls.
The news was broken to Mrs. Kovan and Mrs. Ratanlal, who had accompanied her. They went to Swami and informed him about Walter's death. But Swami, the master of life and death, had decided that Walter would be brought back. Unknown to anyone, he proceeded to the hospital and returned just as swiftly.
Doctor!
Yes?
Sir, the patient in bed 108. The foreign man.
Ah, yes. That person who was brought in dead yesterday.
Actually, you should just come, sir. Since you examined him yesterday, I think you better see for yourself.
What is there to see? That man is dead, lying in the morgue.
But sir, he's alive. I've just come from his bed.
Impossible. There must be a mistake. You must be mixing up patients. Let me check it out myself. I wonder what foolish mix-up this is.
What?
But I examined yesterday. You were dead.
God,
am I going mad?
Doctor, I think you have sufficient reason to be alarmed. But no, I think you're quite sane.
But what could explain this? I checked you myself. You were a witness to it. How could this ever be possible?
I think we should let the patient explain, sir. He seems to want to say something.
Doctor, I don't doubt your medical expertise, and neither should you. I was dead. I remember coming out of my body and watching it in the ambulance.
And then what? Please go on.
My master, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, came and he took me to this large hall where the records of all my past lives were read. He asked that I be allowed to come with him, as he had work for me. He then took me back and guided me to enter this body, and now, here I am.
Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba? Isn't he the same Baba who's in Madras right now, whom people say is the Baba of Shirdi Come Again?
Yes, the very same.
No one else can bring a man back from the dead. This, sir, is the first time I've seen someone return from the morgue. I know what I saw yesterday, and I cannot believe my eyes even now. Yes, he must be God.
Was the day of reckoning for all of us. For here was the Sarva Devata Atita Swarupa in our midst, laughing like a child among children, walking as a man among men, and a woman among women, and normal as normal can be.
But then Dadaji, why does the Lord cast his spell of Maya and deny us this opportunity to make him the single pointed focus of our lives? Why are we still chasing the mirages, despite knowing the oasis?
He isn't the one who casts his web of doubt in our minds. It is the consequences of our own making that erects this wall around us. But that isn't difficult to destroy once we make the choice. All one needs is to surrender to his love. For that alone is the light that can set us free from this prison of deluge.
So, isn't there an exception to this? Is it that every person, no matter how big or small, pauper or prince, is bound by these rules of living?
No exceptions. No exceptions. We are all equal. We are all sparks of the same divine.
Pranams, O noble one. Dadaji, he is the one who...
We are all seekers on a path that has been laid out already. We need to look up time to time and see him standing ahead, waiting for us to return. When he calls one to his abode, Prashanti Nilayam, he gives us a flyover on that path. That is why, Vishal, I asked you to allow me to touch your feet. Every visit of yours to Parthi, it's like climbing a flyover and going faster.
We are going to Parthi sometime soon. Why don't you join us on this trip?
Are pagle, weren't you talking about Maya just now? He has to will it, my child, not you or me.
I do not know around which corner of my journey is a flyover waiting for me to climb. All I know is I have to wait for him to call. And don't mistake me, I don't mind waiting. For the wait to go close to the Lord is as beautiful as waiting for the dark clouds to burst open. Dear Lord, every morning you dispel the darkness of our lives by smiling through the morning rays of the sun.
Every night you remind us that even in the darkest times, you shine like a guiding star.
We look for you everywhere you already are, and yet don't find you, while you hide in our hearts and wait.
Dear Bhagwan, we submit ourselves with gratitude today to complete the journey you have laid for us.
Loving Swami, today we remind ourselves with nostalgia the seeds of love that you sow in us and our responsibility to share it with everyone in the world.
Dearest Saima, we know that your love is ours. Today we pray that you make our love yours.
In every life story of a devotee, God plays a role. In the life story of God, every devotee plays a role. The story of Satya Sai is written by the stories of our lives. We are all fortunate to be a part of his story. His story is an illusion as real as time. It begins with the beginning and shall end in another beginning.
Sri Satya Sai is the personification of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. The ultimate truth, Satyam, is found in every word spoken by him. The ultimate goodness, Shivam, is witnessed in every act done by him. The ultimate beauty, Sundaram, is present in every memory created by him. Sri Satya Sai is an avatar for the darkest times to turn into a golden age. His love brings transformation, which is the hope for salvation.
The divine will kindles a perplexed mind. It is not to be understood, but accepted. The divine plan unveils a secret of God. It is not to be pondered, but admired. The divine script completes a journey. It is not to be questioned, but performed. The divine manifestation uplifts a soul. It is not to be elated, but purified. The divine always leads us on a path of challenges to ultimately simplify the toughest.
He gave mankind the message to unite. For unity, is divinity. There is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one caste, the caste of humanity. There is only one language, the language of the heart. There is only one law, the law of karma. And there is only one God. He is omnipresent. Everyone is dear to Him, and He is always near to us.
Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my life. My life is my message. My life is my message, expansion is my life. My life is my message. No reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death. No reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death. Love is my song, it is my breath, it is my food.
ईश्वर प्रेम है। दर्शन में साई समा है, ईश्वर प्रेम है।
सत्य साई हरे भक्त जना संरक्षक, भक्त जना संरक्षक पति महेश्वरा, ओम जय जगदीश हरे। शशि वदना शेखरा सर्वा प्राणपते, स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते, आश्रित कल्पलतीका, आश्रित कल्पलतीका।
जय बोलो भगवान श्री सत्य साई।